Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn, your friendly radio lawyer and economist and overall policy wonk, joined by an even bigger expert today. Her name is Laura Rodriguez. She's the Vice President of Government Affairs at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She has been the Chief of Staff for Congresspeople. She's been a senior advisor to Senator Bill Nelson and Chief of Staff for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute. We're here today, Laura. Thanks so much for joining me again. Happy New Year to you and yours. We're here to talk about the beginning of the 119th Congress and why this is so important for people to be aware of the legislative priorities. We also want to talk about the re-election of Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House of Representatives. So let's start there. How did Mike Johnson managed to squeak one by? They sort of suspended. There was some whipping of votes. It didn't seem like he... It seemed uncertain for a while, but he eventually pulled it together with only one Republican voting against him. Tell us what happened and what's remarkable here, because it really was sort of a unique moment in the history of the House. Seems like we're having a lot of those lately.
Oh, absolutely, Maggie. And thanks again for having me. It's really great to see you again. So you're correct. It was a really strange vote in the sense that they just held it open until they could twist enough arms. And as we've been told, or we've heard that, you know, President-elect Trump himself had to make calls to get those arms really twisted. They wanted to make sure that they could say that he won it on the first round.
First vote, yeah.
They just did not want that kind of, you know, thing out there that they're, you know, going to be in chaos again this year, et cetera, et cetera. You can take it as a somewhat good sign that they don't want to have the chaos, maybe. But it did take what it took, right? It took a very long time.
Yes.
And now Mike Johnson has to deal with his caucus, which is incredibly divided. You might know that President-elect Trump has also invited some of the more active members and some of the more difficult members down to Mar-a-Lago this weekend to talk to them. So it seems like they are trying to make sure that they're getting their stuff together before it comes out in the public. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be really tough. And I think we're going to see still a lot of chaos. And I think that there's just no way with a 2-seat majority that he's going to be able to do much of anything without Democrats.
Yeah, when you can only lose one basically vote from your caucus, we may rationally understand this, but the practical implications of it are another matter entirely. Congress is big. The House of Representatives is really big. When the single vote of one Republican can make or break key legislative priorities for the GOP and the incoming president, it means that individuals elected from very, very overwhelmingly red or safe districts can adopt incredibly extreme positions to extract concessions because the GOP can't afford to lose a single vote. And overall, you know, we know it doesn't matter who does the polling. It can be the American Enterprise Institute or the Heritage Foundation, that Americans are looking for more compromise, for things to actually get done. Laura, can we expect to see more reasonable compromise? Can we expect to see more things getting done with this kind of razor-thin GOP majority in the House?
Well, there's a lot to wait and see, right? I will say one of the best ways that to understand it, and that's been described to me on the small majority that they have in the House, is think of every single House Republican in the House as a Joe Manchin. That's how much power each and every one of those has. It's very rare right? Normally, only the Senate can enjoy that kind of power. But to your question on whether we can see things, well, we will have to wait and see. I do think that the fact that they changed the rules on how many votes or how many folks can it'll take to vacate the speakership is important. Again, hopefully a sign that they don't want the same kind of chaos that we saw in the last 2 years.
And
I
tell
think,
folks what that change was in case
oh,
they
sure,
aren't
of
in the
course.
weeds of the wonk as we may be.
Of course, thank you. Yes. So the last 2 years, the last Congress, the one Republican member could put a vote on the floor, a privileged resolution that would have to be voted on within 2 days that could remove the speaker. They would have to have a vote to see if the speaker could survive, right? Similar to a parliamentary system, actually. And then what they made the change now, it will take 9 members to agree to put that on the floor. So, again, a little bit better, a little less chaos, hopefully. I still think they're going to need Democrats, though, right? And that's where I think we might have some hope for some bipartisan and some more, in the middle legislation and actual solutions. To your point, people voted these folks in because they said that they wanted the prices to go down. They wanted real solutions for housing. They want real solutions for healthcare. Well, the floor is theirs. Please show us how you're going to do that. That's what the American people are going to hold them to.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. You are sort of mentioning these kinds of priorities. They may need some Democrats. Based upon Mike Johnson's track record as Speaker, what can we expect about his leadership style and what kind of legislation he may be willing to expend his political capital to get through the House of Representatives? What can, again, sort of very generally, what can we expect, especially as Wisconsinites, folks that are looking at healthcare challenges, educational funding challenges, the challenge of maintaining a vibrant workforce to fill the jobs that we've got in one of our major industries as manufacturing and agriculture, making sure that we've got enough workers. What does the horizon hold for us in terms of Mike Johnson's priorities?
Well, unfortunately, right now, what we're seeing is that their priorities are not quite where they said that they would be on the economy. They have signaled that they are going to focus on very poisonous immigration bills right out of the gate, and that's going to be a really tough pill to swallow for a lot of folks. And they want to do away with, clean energy tax credits, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to see a fight, I think, to the death on the new tax bill, right? There's the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, TCJA, which passed during the last Trump administration, is about to expire. And that is where we're going to see a whole lot of effort from both sides, by the way, Republicans and Democrats, in order to see what kind of package can be really put together for the American people. The other piece that is interesting that folks should know about is the reconciliation bill. If folks remember from the IRA, this is a bill that can pass the Senate with just a simple majority, but it has to be connected to the budget and it has to have implications for the budget. And so it remains to be seen if they can all get together and actually come up with one that is going to be passable for their entire caucus. Definitely a huge question mark there.
Yeah, and the quote reconciliation bill, it's called that because you're literally reconciling budget items to make sure that it works between the two chambers of Congress, being the Senate and the House. They've generally, in the past, it was a reconciliation bill with only a simple majority of the Senate because it was supposed to be sort of like technical,
That's right.
corrections and making sure the budget works right. It's taken on and become an entirely different beast in modern American political history. But let's go back to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act rolling off. The middle class did admittedly get some tax relief in the TCJA of 2017 from the Trump 1.0 administration. However, by far, indisputably, the fact is that the wealthiest, largest, most consistently profitable corporations and the 100 millionaire and billionaire set got far more in tax cuts and have reduced federal revenues by far more than the middle class tax cuts ever could. Are we looking at more of the same sorts of decisions? What should regular people who don't have, you know, 50 mil sitting in the bank, what should we all be looking for in terms of the debate over the TCJA's extension?
Excellent question. And you're correct on your entire summary of the TCJA, because it was, sure, we middle class got a little bit, but the bulk was for the richest of the rich. So unfortunately, we think we are going to see a lot of the same proposals. But again, if they want to pass it, you know, with Democratic support, I think that they're, you know, we might be able to get some things more, a few more things for the middle class. I think people do need to pay attention, right? This caucus, the Republican caucus, both in the House and Senate, and President-elect Trump came into office saying that they were going to take care of you, the middle class. So pay close attention as to who is getting those cuts and how they're going to be cutting. Because in order to get those cuts, what are they going to be taking from, right? There's only so much that can go around. And if they really want to reduce the deficit, as they say that they want to, it's going to be a really tough math problem.
Yeah, if you want to reduce the deficit, you either have to cut expenses or raise revenues. Mm-hmm. If you're not raising revenues and you're given a bigger tax cut, it makes the gap even bigger to fill. I'm going to talk about and ask you, Laura, when we come back, what it means when we see so many billionaires and extraordinarily high net worth people put in crucial cabinet level positions when we're talking about whether or not to give a tax break, a further tax break to the richest of the rich high net worth individuals. More with Laura Rodriguez. She is the Vice President of Government Affairs at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. My name's Maggie Dawn, your friendly radio economist and lawyer right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We're all about real news and great conversation. More of that coming up after these brief messages.